Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on the companies we mention. Please do your own research.
Hello and good morning to Monday Upbeat Markets. For me, Graham Dixon.
Me, Kevin Hornsby.
Kevin, how are you today?
I'm good. My day is nearly finished as your day nearly starts.
Yes, of course, you're in Hawaii, aren't you?
I am. I am in Hawaii, on the Big Island, in Kona.
We're recording this now at 7.30 UK time. What's the time over in Hawaii?
It is 8.30 p.m.
And I can see a fan in the background. Presumably, is the air conditioning broken? Or
we don't have any air conditioning. It's hot and sticky. And yeah, we have fans. So that's the extent of our ability to that. We have fans, a swimming pool, and a shower. And it needs to be cold. So yeah.
Yeah, it's very hot by the looks of it. So who we've got on today, Kevin?
Well, today, as a guest, we have got Ippolito from Ajax Resources. How are you doing there, Ippolito?
Good morning. Very well. Very nice to be here.
And where are you in the world today?
I'm travelling back to London this morning. So I'm currently in Italy, but I'm travelling back to London. Just come back from Argentina. So a layover briefly. There's a direct flight from Buenos Aires to Rome. And now making my way back to London.
Very good. Very good. So you are tired, I would imagine.
Always ready for a Monday morning upbeat market. Never tired.
Monday not so upbeat markets, but let's go.
Yeah.
So tell us, Ippolito, what's been happening with Ajax and what's been happening with your visits to Argentina again? Just give everybody an overview of what's been happening.
Sure. So we've, as we've announced, the EIA for Makacha has been submitted. I've had a very positive meeting with the local mining authorities in the province of Salta, which is where the Makacha project is located. We submitted the EIA and we expect approval within 90 days, as indicated in that announcement. We hope it will be much sooner than that, so there may be a surprise. It could be. I've heard of some EIAs being approved in as little as 30 days. So it could be that we have a pleasant surprise. But as always with regulatory news announcements, it's best to under-promise and over-deliver. So we put the 90 days there just to be on the very safe side. But we expect and hope that we will have approval much sooner than those 90 days. So that's now submitted. It's worth remembering that the Makacha project is a copper and silver project with 6.6 million tons of copper at 0.6% and 18 grams per ton silver. And that is solely derived from the oxide mineralization. So our goal is to take that historical 2004 JORC resource up to modern standards, so 2012 JORC compliant mineral resource estimate, and firstly increase the oxide mineralization because we see significant expansion potential. So a nice target would be, a logical target would be, you know, 10 million from the 6.6 to 10. And then the real game changer for that project is the deeper sulfide mineralization, which is untested, well, has been intersected, but has never been, you know, it's never been assessed or appraised in accordance with JORC. And that is where we see the resource multiplier. So that will be the main object of our drilling campaign, which we will commence as soon as the EIA is approved. We're fully funded to conduct our drilling campaign, which we expect to be around 5,000 meters. And then on the back of that drilling campaign, we will publish a JORC compliant mineral resource estimate. So Makacha is looking very good. We're looking at some other projects in Salta as well. We really like Salta. It's a very positive province in terms of mining potential. And we're also looking at other projects in Argentina, which all fit the general strategy we have, which is acquiring past producing projects with significant exploration potential. And so that is something that we'll be updating the market on in due course. We've completed the Pereira Velho acquisition in Brazil from Appian Capital, who are now our shareholder. We've just under 5% of our share capital, so we're really delighted to have them on board, our first institutional investment. And in fact, we're looking at other projects with them, and they don't have a presence in Argentina, so we would very much like to work with them on some Argentine projects. And then we have, as you know, we've announced a deal in Chile, which is for the Paguanta project, which again also has a dual compliant resource. It's a polymetallic zinc, silver, lead project with copper prospectivity. So that is again a past producing silver mine. So we again will look to we'll update the market shortly on completion of that deal. So we've assembled a pretty good portfolio across South America. And of course, to conclude, the Eureka project, we've announced that we are that the site visit should happen today, between today and tomorrow. The Chinese company that is looking at the project is visiting the project this week, and so we expect to have news on that front as well. And we've had some very good conversations with them. So all in all, it's going well, and my visit has been a positive one.
Very good. Okay, so Makacha, from the conversations I've had with you in the past, obviously Eureka, somebody wishes to buy it, that's obviously going to give us some financial impetus and maybe you know, something on the back end as well if negotiations go well. But Makacha seems to be, you know, currently 6.5 million tons at 0.6% copper with quite a considerable silver, 18 grams. You're talking about 40,000 tons of contained copper there. If you get the oxides up to 10 million, you're going to be talking about 60,000 tons of contained copper. If you go down to the oxides, can you see that is going to drastically increase the amount of contained copper and silver, do you think, or not?
Yeah. So we you know, it's worth being very cautious with this, because then these estimates, these projections, which of course are all you know, made with the utmost caution and with all the disclaimers associated with them that you would usually expect. But the internal estimate we have is that if we get it right, we can increase the resource by up to 5 times, and that's what we put in our announcement when we could sign the option for Makacha. So we see, and there's regional evidence. There's one other project that comes to mind, which is located nearby, that has proven the sulfide mineralization, and the sulfide mineralization has also already been, we know it's there, previous drilling campaigns by Alexander Mining PLC had intersected it, so we know it's there. It's just a question of how large the resource is. So we believe that there's potential to increase the resource by up to 5 times. So we'll see whether that is then, if the drilling leads to that, but that's our internal estimate, and we've done quite a lot of good work since signing the option, and even before then, in terms of the geological model. So we feel that the you know, even doubling, I would be very happy with just doubling the resource, but there's up to 5 times the potential to increase it by up to 5 times.
And do you anticipate the silver goes down there as well, or not go down, because obviously it's coming up?
Yeah, it may be the grade changes in terms of the copper mineralization. It may be that the sulfide mineralization is a different grade, a higher grade, hopefully. So so that may change, and it may be the average grade across the project is increases to, you know, hopefully beyond you know, closer to 1%. So that is the hope. In terms of silver, we actually, it's interesting you raised that, we see a lot of the silver mineralization, which was always a kind of an add-on and not really the main attraction, it is actually highly understated. So we feel that the silver mineralization may surprise us, and so that's what I'm hearing from our geological team, that the silver mineralization is actually much more significant than initially envisaged. So we'll have some news on that front as well. But of course, before we drill the project, these are all you know, it's all conjecture, right? It's all sort of a hypothesis.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
But at 18 grams a ton for the silver, it's $40 to $50 per ton that's coming out of the ground in terms of resource. That's going to cover an awful lot of the costs of mining this stuff, because I presume the oxide stuff is pretty much from surface. So, you know, you're going to be open pitting, I presume, and taking stuff out of the ground. Is that fair to say?
That's the goal. Yeah, I think this is very much an open pit project. And so, yes, that is the goal. And the beauty of Makacha, which is worth remembering, is that the pilot plant back in 2000, just before 2010, 2008, 2009, there was a pilot plant in place and copper bars were produced. Copper cathode bars were produced. In fact, in the office of the owner, who we've signed the option with, there's a very, very nice copper cathode bar sitting above his desk. So we know that this project is near to production. That's why we bought it. And in fact, even our lawyer, who was the lawyer of a former operator of this project, also has a copper cathode bar above his desk. So there seems to be a recurring copper cathode bar. Decoration around the area, so we feel that is encouraging.
It's actually got infrastructure there to process, or do you have to talk treat it?
No, it's all gone. But there was a pilot plant, and that which is now which was packaged back together is now in a warehouse and has been sitting there for the past 15 years. So we could probably acquire that. In fact, we've been offered to buy that pilot plant, but it most likely is obsolete at this stage. So I think we'll probably. We'll see what price the is going for, but I think we might with the technology, the technological advancements that have happened in the meantime, it may be worthwhile exploring a new pilot plant. And so that is something that we know has happened. So it's encouraging. I mean, what we want to be is we want to buy a project on very advantageous terms and prove it up, which is the key pillar of our strategy. And the second pillar of our strategy is producing, getting to production, being a revenue generator. So this project has the potential to do both.
So your near-term drilling is going to be Makacha?
Going to be Makacha, but also we're just refining our plans to start drilling the Pereira Velho project as well, which is the gold project in Brazil, which has an in-house Appian estimate of roughly 160,000 ounces of gold. So that transaction structure with Appian envisages the first milestone being 350,000 ounces. So, and we're pretty confident that by drilling that project, of which only a very small part has been explored, we can increase the resource up to, you know, the first milestone, which is 350,000 ounces. So I to answer your question, I think in the first two projects that we will be actively taking forward will be Makacha, which is imminent as soon as the EIA is approved, and Pereira Velho, again, that's actually quicker in some ways than Argentina in terms of environmental regulations, because the filings are much, I think, slightly more streamlined at a local level. So that is that will also be done. It will be a 3,000 meter drill campaign that we would consider as per our regulatory news announcement when we signed the deal. So that's also going forward. So you've got two projects that we will be taking forward.
So Ippolito, just a couple of questions on Eureka. We drilled Eureka. How are we getting results? Are you going to put those results out, or it's not really relevant because the Chinese discussions, for one? And secondly, there was part of Eureka that was we were talking about trying to get the gold from the upstream situation, you know, the free gold, if you like. Are you still in that process, or is that something the Chinese will take off your hands?
So the results for Eureka will be announced, of course. That will be, we're still waiting, and it's been extraordinarily long time, but we will get those out as soon as we see them in the lab. But admittedly, we're not really that concerned with them, because we only drilled 500 meters, as we announced, and then the talks are ongoing and pretty advanced now. Visiting the site, so we'll see where those negotiations lead. Eureka is now really very much of a to use a football analogy. You know, when a player is you know, when you're transferring a player, you're selling a player, you know, he's no longer in the squad, right? So Eureka is actively in the transfer market. So it's not the focus of our technical attention. We're now focusing on the other projects, which we see as the real value generators in terms of the geological, the production, the revenue generation, the production, and then the resource definition. So yeah, Eureka is in our minds is now we feel that the talks have gone well, is more of a strategic consideration at this point as opposed to a technical one.
You're not an Arsenal supporter, are you, Hippolyta, by any chance?
I'm sadly not. I'm not sure if you are, but I'm not an Arsenal supporter. No,
I'm definitely not. I'm a Liverpool supporter.
Liverpool's good.
Very good. Okay, so looking at Ajax overall, we've got plenty of cash in the bank. You have the Eureka potential, as you said, out of the squad at the minute because hopefully we're going to sell the thing for cash and whatever else is on the table. We've got Makacha, which is a great project in itself. I mean, I think if you do achieve the 5x, you're talking about 300,000 tons of contained copper. That becomes a sort of B-grade project in terms of world scenario. Once it goes over 1 million tons of contained copper, it's world class. But the world is going to need a lot more of these 300,000 ton projects than it currently has the ability to get. But I think the finances could be changed drastically by the silver in that, especially as I think silver is going to do extremely well. And the whole thing with the Pereira Vela, I mean, they're targeting 1 million ounces of gold. That's worth a lot of money if you get that. What is the type of gold and at what depth do we think the gold is at Pereira Vela?
So just one more thing about Makacha before I get on to your question, which I didn't mention. It's worth remembering that Makacha, or Leon as was known prior to us renaming it, was a project that Alexander Mining PLC had back in 2005, 2010, and they had a market valuation of, at one point, I think up to £50 million, just on the basis of that project. And that was when copper prices were significantly lower, right? So probably less than half of what they are today. So that's just something to put into context. What the value of that project was as it was seen by the market back in the day. So that just to conclude on Makacha, I think that if we just double the project in terms of resource size, I think that should logically bring a lot of value to Ajax. So moving to Pereira Vela, we've engaged, we've signed up with the former technical leader at Appian, Elton Pereira, who very much likes the project. He believes there's up to 1 million ounces in the ground. It's a low grade, admittedly a low grade gold oxide near surface deposit. So this project will be an open pit production scenario, and it's 20 kilometers away from another mine called the Serrote, because Pereira Vela is not a mine yet, called Serrote, which Appian acquired in 2018 for about $30 million and invested and developed and took forward to production and sold in May of 25 for $420 million. So that gives you an idea of the potential of the area. And so I would like to foresee a scenario of that kind, but I think even if we define a resource of 400,000 or 500,000 ounces, which I think this project can, I'm told, can very reasonably achieve, then you know the gold price as well as I do, and you know the potential of that. So so the idea would then be to take this within 2 years, 2-3 years to production.
Yeah, and if you're telling me there is a gold place 20 kilometers away, then you could be tolling the gold there, I presume, or your ore anyway. You don't necessarily even have to have your own ability to process it.
Yeah, I mean that's that makes sense. We'll have to we'll see, because Appian has since sold that project to another company. But we the area is very mining friendly. Alagoas State is a good mining jurisdiction. So we we see quite an exciting journey in Brazil, and we're looking at some other projects locally as well. But I think the important point now for Ajax is, and I think I'm always very critical with, you know, with everything I do, and especially with how Ajax performs. You know, I always play devil's advocate, and I think on a strategic level, we mustn't acquire too many projects, because otherwise you just become a company that just signs all these projects and then delivers nothing, because £3 million, or that's not big money in mining. It's big money in the junior market space. It's very hard to come by a company that has that kind of cash balance, especially on Aquis, and in the junior sort of main market Aquis environment. But the reality is that we want to now prove ourselves with a project with a resounding technical success, which I think Mecatra can deliver. And then at that point, our valuation will hopefully re-rate to the same degree as the resource. You know, you mentioned a five x increase in the resource, which is a hypothesis at this stage, but we hope to achieve. But why not, if we achieve even part of that, why not have a similar comparable re-rate in our valuation? So in our market valuation, so that the goal will be then to raise more capital at a much higher valuation for our company, and then develop some larger projects in parallel, because we are, after all, we are a natural resource investment company. So we look at projects across the board. We're not focused on one metal specifically, although we are copper, gold, silver. Those are our key metals. But we're also looking at deals in other areas of the world, perhaps with other vehicles. So that's something that we can't talk about at this very preliminary stage, but that there will be hopefully some news on some other exciting projects that I've been associated with, which as you know, there's a uranium project in Italy that my name has been associated with, and so we'll see where that leads.
Hey, Pelosi, last time I interviewed you, I think you were delighted with being on the Aquis markets, and quite rightly so. But I did read on the message board that someone put on there that if you got to a market valuation of £30 million, you would consider moving to the main market. Is there any truth in that, or is that just speculation?
So I think, yeah, 30 million, there's a rule which I need to familiarize myself with once more, but it's AIM. You can move across to AIM if your market cap reaches is beyond 30 million for a certain period of time. And then there's some kind of accelerated or easier way of admitting onto getting listed on AIM. So yes, that is, I mean, look, Aquis, I think, is a phenomenal market. I'm really a big fan of it. I think it's companies such as ourselves, but even, you know, Delta Gold Technologies, which I know you follow, and, you know, we've got a good relationship with the guys there, and we very much like the story. That is a company that proves that Aquis is a great market, right? You can list on Aquis, you can deliver extraordinary value to your shareholders, spend a fraction of what you would spend on other markets like the London Stock Exchange, because it's much more commercially attractive to be on Aquis than on those markets, and you have an exchange which is very pro company. Pro business that wants you to list. They want, you know, if you've got a problem or you've got something that doesn't quite work, they'll sit down with you and hear you, and speak to you, and you have a face. You have someone who you can talk to. That is not the case with other markets, as far as I can see. You don't have this kind of personal relationship. So I think Aquis is a great market, and more and more I see more companies moving to Aquis, because it's just the liquidity problems that previously beset Aquis, or were perceived to beset Aquis, are no longer there. So it's all about the company and its story. So I really like it. However, there is Aquis serves a very specific purpose, which is achieving that high growth from day zero to when the company really is able to prove itself. So I think inevitably, if we do as well as we hope to do, then we would consider perhaps moving to another market. But again, let's get to that 30 million and then have the conversation. I think Delta Gold Technologies is currently at 60 or 70 million market cap. So I'm not sure what they're thinking, but I think they've had a resounding experience on Aquis.
They're thinking New York Stock Exchange.
Well, I was thinking about the Argentinian exchange. Is it called Bolsa? I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, it's called Bolsa, Buenos Aires Bolsa. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because Argentina is an exceptionally wealthy country and there's a lot of money floating around, except all that money is held abroad, or most of it. And so one of the government initiatives, which a number of governments have, you know, in the knowledge of how much money, Argentine money, was abroad in the US and other places, successive governments have sought to introduce amnesty laws to bring that money back, right? So people would bring it back without fear of being, you know, losing it all through taxation. And so, you know, this government, which the Malay government, is a very sort of laissez-faire, pro-business, pro, you know, deregulation is the, you know, the key word, has proposed that. And so there is quite a bit of money floating back. So why not? You know, it makes sense to seek to find some local and, you know, local investors. Why wouldn't an Argentine invest in an Argentine project, right? But I think there are there's still some concerns that, you know, bringing that money back will result in taxation. So not a lot of the money still hasn't come back. But I think Argentina is a country that has enormous potential. The geology is in many areas is world class. And there's a huge discount applied to the country still because of historical reasons, which you know, people are still fearful of. But I think for in terms of our strategy, which is acquiring,
I think more and more companies are going to be aiming for this 75 million to 100 million pounds market cap, which gives them $100 million plus market cap. And they're going to go on the New York Stock Exchange or something similar in the US or the Canadian Stock Exchange as well, because there is just more cash there. There's more capital. And your valuations are going to be based upon
and
that.
To be fair, New York's for the Latinos. New York's full of Latinos as well, with a lot of money. New York is full of Latinos with a lot of money.
Yeah. And we've seen this with GMET as well, you know, Guardian Metal Resources in terms of tungsten. They've now listed on the New York Stock Exchange, a real success story, you know, 3 years from literally listing in the UK to now being New York Stock Exchange listed ADR as well as the UK. I think Delta Gold's going to do exactly the same before the end of this year. They're going to be on the New York Stock Exchange. No reason why you can't be doing the same thing, I think, is the reality. Might seem crazy right now with sort of £9 million market cap or whatever it happens to be the number. But 3 years ago, this is exactly where GMET was. Exactly the same position, almost the same number of shares in issue, held by the right people, and, you know, with lots of projects ahead of them. That's exactly the same situation as you're in. And that's what I see. It's like not exactly copycat because they were tungsten. But the reality is silver, copper, I think it's going to do very well. And then you've got Paravela with gold as well. So you've got gold, silver, copper. And those metals are only going one way. And we are in the billions of dollars, even in the ground, of what these are likely to be worth. So, yeah, exciting times. So, Ippolito, wake up. You've got a day ahead of you.
I'm very awake. I'm listening to you with open ears and open eyes. So no, I agree with you. I agree with everything you've said. I mean, I was passively just I couldn't agree more. So I didn't wish to interrupt such a marvelous flow of good words.
Ippolito, I noticed on the website on your bio it says that you're I think a British Army reservist.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, amongst other things. Yeah.
What would happen to Ajax if you were called up? What's the contingency?
Well, I mean, if I was called up, which I hope we hope doesn't happen, in terms of there have to be some sort of major national or international crisis to cause that. But there would be there's a board with two other individuals who are very capable. I guess they would take my position if that was the case, but we'll see. I mean, my main focus at the moment is Ajax. I've kind of neglected, unfortunately, my my military service, if you will. So that's something I'm very happy. I very recommend to anyone. I've had an extraordinary experience. I really enjoyed doing it. I think it was Winston Churchill who said, a reservist is twice the citizen or something like that. So, I think being a reservist is, I can never pursue a full-time military career because I was always working from a young age. Very busy with the natural resource sector. So that didn't happen. And so the reservist route was a way for me to on weekends to live that experience that I was never able to live in a full-time capacity. So I really enjoyed it. It taught me a lot and it was very difficult. And I still haven't finished my experience. So hopefully there's more to come. But I hope not to be called up, Graham. But if it were to happen, I would do my bit and that would be, I guess Ajax would have to be managed by an equally capable other director.
Polito, good luck in everything you do. Good luck in the negotiations with Eureka, or for Eureka, I should say. And we look forward to more news coming.
Thank you very much. Great talking to you.
Thanks, Polito.
All the best. Thank you very much.
Okay, Kevin, what's caught your eye this morning? Let's start with Delta Gold.
Yeah, well, Delta Gold, talk about a successful IPO from sort of December last year, issued at 10p, now rocking and rolling in the 90s. Pure Bond have taken a bigger position. We've got Jonathan Swan. So just if you add it up, Pure Bond got 9.2% roughly. Jonathan Swan's well over 22%, I believe. That's 31%. The BOD have over 30%. So what does that make? 61%? And that's before you take other people who are holding 1% all over the place, because there's lots of EIS money and SEIS money that was initially in there. So they're not selling. They're not going to have big tax bill. They're quite happy that they've got 30% back from the government, and you know they're riding high with an investment. So I believe that there's probably over 85% of this stock that is in like diamond hands, if you like. It's not going anywhere. The stated aim now is that they're going to list on the New York Stock Exchange. They needed to get over, I think, over price of about 90 pence. So here we are. I think there's going to be news flow coming now that they've got Penn State on and Toronto University. And they've been talking to other universities, so I can't see that there isn't going to be more news flow to continue to take this higher and higher. It's one of those stocks, isn't it, that is blue sky. How do you value it? Because if you look at the Mag 7, who are going to be looking at this and saying, we want the pieces to be able to make this quantum computer successful, then what are they willing to pay for that, you know? They paid Oxford University or Oxford, I forget the name of the company, but they paid them $1 billion last year for just a switch within quantum computing. So when you look at what Delta Gold has, and it's currently valued at about £60 million, that just puts it in perspective. We could have a long way to go still.
Yes, what Delta Gold have achieved is a blueprint for how to do an IPO. You have great investors right from the beginning. You have as much investors coming in on EIS and SEIS to keep that supply tight. Diamond hands, as Kevin says, and thereafter you have a limited supply of stock. If you have some good news and you have natural buyers coming in, there's only one way the share price is going to go. So well done to Delta Gold for achieving what they've done. I think, as you say, it's a 60 million market cap. They've gone up more than ninefold since their IPO, many times for the pre-IPO investors. So well done to all of them. Actually, well done to Kevin. He got me involved as well at Jonathan Swan's party. So thank you so much for that, Kevin. I'm no longer in it, regretfully, but it stood me very well. So thank you for that. So what else are we going to talk about, Kevin? Have you been following Wishbone Gold at all?
I haven't, no. I haven't.
No. So let me tell you that they announced today a drilling campaign, and I believe that they are drilling in, you know, not too far from where Greatland Gold's flagship asset is. I think that could draw some attention towards Wishbone. Let's see. I mean, the shares have come off, a massive drop in recent months. So let's see if this is something that people pick up, or if this is, well, I guess the drilling results will speak for themselves. But there might be some excitement leading up to that.
I think there was excitement galore, wasn't there? But with no substance, because there was no drilling results. So the drilling results are required. So another one that we've got to look at is Great Western Mining, GWMO, right next to GMET. They've got tungsten, gold, copper, not gold, tungsten, copper, silver, and possibly garnets as well, the same as GMET. Very low market capitalization when you consider GMET's now worth 500 million. These guys are worth less than 10. Got to be one that we have a rattle at. Got a new CEO. They're cashed up. Can it do 2, 3, 4, 5 times from here and still be cheap? I think so is the answer. It's in America. It's definitely got tungsten in the ground. So yeah, another one to look out for. The one I'm most excited about, and they were on the roast. Paul Elliott was on the roast there on Sunday as well, is Active Energy. Being smashed because of the war, basically. They're based in Dubai and in Saudi Arabia. They're going to be moving into and Qatar and Kuwait and Bahrain. Now, the reality is this is a utility play giving electricity to data centers. And, you know, it's valued at around £4 million. They're going to have revenue from the 13 megawatts that they've got of somewhere in the region of $4 to $5 million by the, within weeks, basically. And it's crazy valuation. You know, a utility would normally be valued at what? 15, 20 times PE ratios, which are, 50% of the revenue. I can't see how it's not going to be worth a lot of money, basically. And I think there's going to be more and more and more news, because there's more and more opportunities. I mean, he was saying to us yesterday that if the cash was available, that he could get to 60 to 100 megawatts within 12 months, easily. And, you know, they've done some great deals for equity and then cash as the things produce. So I'm very excited about that one.
Back to your Delta Gold recommendation, it's pretty difficult to ignore at this point.
Get some money in Active Energy, I'm telling you. I think, I'm happy to say I'm a big holder as well. I've bought a lot of stock myself, and I think it's going to do very well. It's not a short play now, but I think in the short term you'll do very well as well. But I think if you hold this for the next, let's say, 3 years, I think you could do between 10 and 20 times your money. And we have to sometimes pinch ourselves, okay? Because there aren't that many opportunities in the world to make that type of money. It doesn't exist, you know, because you put your money in the bank and you get, 2 or 3%, and it gets taxed. You get the opportunity to invest in some of these opportunities and make 2 times, 1 times, 5 times, 10 times. And if it's in the right tax situation, then you pay no tax. If it's in your ISA or if it's in a pension or if it's in that. So, you know, we do have to pinch ourselves sometimes, because sometimes we're crying about the fact that we lost 50%. But you only have to get one or two of these stocks right. And you know, you're flying. I was looking at our 2024 predictions in the roast, and they're now up 200% on average per stock, the ones we picked in 2024. But you know what? Only 4 stocks of the 12 are actually up.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And that is because
it's gone up many, many fold.
We had one massive winner, and that one massive winner was GMET. Right?
Yes.
In 2025, our average stocks are now up 160%. Now, the difference there is that the growth was amongst many, because there's only about two or three losers, maybe even only two. Mm. And again, we've said the same thing about what we picked at the start of at the end of 2025 for 26. There aren't many losers in there now, because we're having a broad market rally, and we've also maybe we've got good at picking what we think. If you read Charles's articles recently about the three-legged stool, you know, the fact that you have good management, you have cash in the bank, and you have good asset or a good project. If you have these three things, then you might lose some money, but more than likely, you're going to make some money. And yeah, that's what we've got to start trying to make sure that we pick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing more and more about we could be going through a generational bull market that perhaps we've never seen in our lifetimes, is what I've been reading recently in a sort of subscription-only newsletter from America. And, you know, they're talking about Trumponomics. They're talking about the age of innovation. Do you see what I mean? There are
yeah.
So there is this sort of movement that is actually counter to the sort of doom and gloom that we've seen most recently, particularly after. So people say that, you know, perhaps this might work.
There are certain themes, and I have the three legs of the themes that I'm following. And the first theme that I am following is energy for technology. Whatever is required in terms of the energy for technology, whether that be data centers, whether it be AI, whether it be, you know, even fusion in terms of having nuclear fusion, tungsten, and using the power of effectively an atom, which produces the value of the sun effectively. So that would be my first stool. The second stool is to do all of those things, you need resources. So you need copper, silver, gold, and many other metals as well, whether it be tungsten, whether it be titanium. So that's the second leg. First leg being the energy for technology, and then this one. And then the third stool is simply technology. You know, AI along with something that is practical. Because if you remember in the dot-com boom, every man and his dog created something that was technological on the internet, but only the useful ones survived.
Of course, yeah.
And those useful ones were the ones that created revenue. So
yeah,
a lot of those aren't even on the market yet either. They're not, you know, I backed a couple that are not on the market. And I think they're the ones where the results are going to come from. Eventually they will come to the market, but I think, you know, there's going to be some positives there going forward. But yeah.
Did you see what happened with WeCap and WeShop last week?
I was following it, I added 1.5 million stock.
Okay. Very
so
good.
So to reduce my average.
What did you buy them at?
0.7, 0.8, I think, something like that. Yeah. I bought them in three tranches, so maybe 0.7, 0.8, 0.85, something like that.
You see the volume in WeShop shares?
Yep, was and bananas.
They have 11 million shares in issue, I think, and they traded over 30 million shares. So that, like, but there's only like 90% of the stock is tied up.
Ah, okay, I see what you mean. You think there's only 11 million free float, you mean?
No, there's 11 million in entire share count. Oh, you could double that, I suppose, with the shoppers, but you can't count yet because they're not released until November. Plus 90% of the
stock. Are you sure you're right there? Because 11 million shares is what WeCap own.
No, 11, yeah, I know it's confusing, but it's about 11 million shares that WeShop have an issue on the New York Stock or NASDAQ. There might be a little bit more because of some exercises by the management, some option exercises, but by and large, it's let's say it's 11 million shares in WeShop that are is the entire issued share capital. Of that 11 million, probably about 10 million is tied up, locked in. So only about a million shares is freely available. And that stock was traded amongst God knows who 30 times over.
That was on the Thursday, I think. But on the Friday, even the volume was 8.7 million. So it was going crazy as well.
Still crazy. So, let's see what happens.
There's no doubt in my mind it's been shorted. Okay, so the shorters have seen it as this is easy play. There isn't a huge amount of stock in it. We can play this and take it right the way down. So if you were buying WeShop at $5 a share, I think you did very well. Thank you very much. And WeCap was down at 0.35. And, maybe in hindsight we should have bought it, but I didn't really have the belief at that stage. But I think it's possibly turned a corner. It's going to have results in the next few weeks. Let's see what the volume's like on the NASDAQ over the next week. But it's one to keep an eye on. If you saw WeCap, it was trading at well over a penny. On the Thursday, I think it went up to 1.1, 1.2 people were paying, and then came all the way back down to 0.7, 0.8 again. So it's becoming tighter and tighter and tighter as well. There's a lot of people holding that 90%, maybe 95% of people holding WeCap shares are underwater.
Yes.
So there's not many people selling. Unless people are selling just to take the loss. There you go. And I have a fair few, and I know you do, and I know quite a few of your people that you put in at 3.5p do as well. So
I got that. And then the other thing that caught my eye was actually the interview we did with David Halley of Gfinity. They picked up considerably after the interview, which is
it's good
to
news.
See that people are finally noticing Gfinity.
Yeah, the other energy one as well as Active Energy, which is doing very well today, as we look at how things are going, is Quantum Data Energy as well. It's the UK version of it. It's been in the doldrums basically because of lots of warrants at 4p that has meant that really everybody's just avoided it, but it had a bit of a wobble there, but it's starting to come back again now. Those warrants are out the money, I think, or out the equation, basically, at the start of June. So, maybe still a couple of months to go, but I think there's definitely room for manoeuvre there. It's small market cap, only £4 million, the same sort of thing as Active Energy, and their opportunities are vast. Again, it's that leg. Energy to do with technology. It's like owning the picks and shovels in the gold rush. That's what I see. It's not sexy, it's not exciting, but it can make a lot of money.
Okay, well, on that note, Kevin, I think we call it a wrap. So thank you very much for everybody that's watching. Don't forget that if you like what you see, please like and subscribe. And remember, mum's the word.
Yeah, mum's the word. Look out for some more interviews next week. We've got, I think, Zenith Energy lined up for next week and Forgent as well. Look out for those for next week.
This podcast was brought to you by Monday Upbeat Markets. If you would like to appear on a future episode of the Mum's Podcast, please email Monday, upbeatmarkets@gmail.com.